This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Every deputy who cast a ballot on this against Nanos, because the board of supervisors said, hey, let's see what's going on here. Do y'all think he's a great guy or not? The board of supervisors just gave him 10 business days to answer under oath or face removal, because every deputy said, we don't like you. You're not qualified. We have no confidence in you, which is great when every person that works under you doesn't believe in you. An independent review confirmed he used his political office to go after political opponents, and he's still there, still running the most high-profile missing persons case in America. So what exactly is he holding on to? And what falls apart for him the moment he lets go? So let's drop off there. Jen, you've investigated leaders who've held on to power long past the point where everyone around them wanted them gone. When a sheriff is facing a 241-0 no-confidence vote from his own deputies, the board threatening removal, an independent review confirming political retaliation, and a $2 million federal lawsuit, what's the calculation that makes someone say, you know what, I'm going to stay in this job. This seems lovely. I'm going to dig in even deeper. Why on earth would a sane person at some point not say, yeah, you know what, nobody believes in me. Maybe I'm best just to go to retirement at some point and just bow out. Is it ego? Is it pride? Is it ignorance? I mean, what the hell do you think is going on here behind the scenes with Nanos?
Behind the scenes, behind his head, this is what's going on. In other words, behind his face, in his brain.
Yeah.
I'm best for the job. I'm completely misunderstood. I've done everything right. I made one minor mistake that really wasn't my mistake. It was the six-month detective on the job releasing the crime scene. I'm the man, and most people believe that. I just have a group of haters that are in my political opponent arena, and so I'm not paying attention to any of this.
Yep. That's about right. That's exactly what's going on behind that face.
How do you reach somebody like that? Is there any reaching somebody like that? Is there any lever within Pima County where somebody steps in and says, come on? I mean, they've done it every public way possible now with the no vote of confidence. Every way you could shame somebody legally, they've done. Yet he's still there. And I get that's probably exactly right. What's going on behind those eyeballs? That's the equation. And that's the outcome that he is seeing in his brain. But is there a support system going on behind the scenes, you think, that helps confirm that helps continue that confirmation bias that he has already going on in his brain? Is there any reaching this guy for the greater good to convince him to think differently?
In a word, no. And secondarily, he has a lot of people that are supporting him.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what, because they're looking for those raises. They're looking for those positions. Look at that 6 month. You know, so a homicide detective with 6 months detective, he's probably his biggest cheerleader. There's a lot of people that are behind the scenes supporting him, some because of an emotional attachment over years. I tell you, things like people's secretaries and people's admin people, if he's treated them right, they're going to be their biggest supporters, and other people who are in good graces that want him to survive all of this. So I don't think he's going anywhere unless he is literally somehow forced out.
Yeah, Jen's hitting it right on the head. You know, when you have people that are benefiting from you in that position, why would they oppose him? Because it just doesn't work that way. And Jen hit it right, too. The support staff, they are the ones running that office. They're the ones that have longevity. They don't move. They stay in place. They run the finance. They run the economics. They run the paper trails. They run all these things. And if he's treated them well over the years, they're the ones that actually have the undercurrent of the entire office and support it. So, yeah, I'm with Jen. So it's easy to have a lot of haters. But if the haters don't make an impact on those that are actually keeping things running, then there's not going to be a change.
I'm wondering, you know, if there's an element of running out the clock on this as well in his position. Like, if he were to step down right now, are there any legal repercussions to him? You know, could there be civil suits filed? I know he's protected pretty well for the position that he's in terms of any sort of lawsuits and all that, which, you know, it is our system works. Don't like it, but it is what it is. So he's fairly insulated there to a certain extent. But if I wonder if he's calculating this too, of like, well, if I just, you know, if I retire here in a couple of years, whatever it is, I think it's like 28 or something when his term is up, or he could be reelected, God forbid. I'm wondering if, you know, time will heal the wounds in his mind, and maybe when he steps away and does eventually retire, he's waiting for a greener pasture to step into than the one he may be stepping into if he were to do that right now. Again, completely, you know, completely based on his own self-interest, not in the interest of the community that he serves. But I'm wondering if that's part of the calculation and part of the inspiration to just keep his head down, ignore every piece of criticism, and only take in the people that are singing his praises.
Well, take a look at what just happened. I think it was yesterday, and forgive me if I butcher the name. I'm not a political person, but the California guy running, Swalwell, running for governor after the...
Oh, yeah.
Whatever
those accusations,
kisses and all these things.
Sure. So yeah, horrible shit. Yeah,
that look at that backlash now.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I don't know who. Obviously, he wants to try to. I'm sure his poor family. They're just suffering with all these horrible accusations and things, especially if they're true. And he wants to step away. But imagine if Nanos right now just put up the white flag. Tony, he will never do that. And I wanted to ask, isn't it coming up the 120 days? Do we have that exact day marked on the calendar? The 120 days that they have to get the votes?
I don't think we're there yet, because I think they began this operation. I don't think we're 120 days into the year yet, are we?
I think we're less than 2 months away.
Yeah, we're getting close. It's not a lot of time, because you have to average like 1,000 some signatures a day, or it's something ridiculous. It's like very unattainable. I think it's more than 1,000, isn't it? Almost like it's some ridiculous number. Like we have the bars are set so high that they're almost unattainable. I feel like, I wonder if at the end of all this, if Pima County is going to reevaluate some of these things and go, maybe we should have easier levers to pull should we need to remove somebody, because the way they're currently set up makes it next to impossible. I mean, it would take quite a bit. And I'm not saying that this is going to happen or anything, but the only other thing that I could think that would maybe trigger more motivation to remove this man is if there were some sort of a sex scandal or something that come out. That seems to be the lever that pulls a lot of people out of these positions. You can like defile the community and destroy investigations and be incompetent here and there in many people's opinions, and you're good to go till your term is up. But you get that mixed in, and it's like, whoa, that's a bridge too far. It seems it's funny where people will draw the line.
Yeah, I got the deadline. So it was filed on March 12th. They have deadline submit signed petitions by July 10th, and signatures required 122,211. 25% of the votes cast in his last sheriff's election is what they need.
Mm-hmm. So that would bring us to a vote if we were to get there. And they have to be verified signatures too, as well. It's not just, you can't just go around and like fill out a bunch of names and here, like they have to. So you need, I mean, truly, if you're, you know, doing the numbers or something, 200,000 really to achieve reputable, actual, verifiable 120,000 to get there. So that's a lot of signatures. Is there any chance in hell they're going to get there?
Maybe. So I'm sorry, Jen. So it's being led by Daniel Buterres, and they're aiming for 135,000 signatures. They seem to sound optimistic anyway. Go ahead, Jen.
No, I'm sorry about that, Robin. And this is his opponent, just to be clear, you know, this isn't just some citizen upset about the Guthrie case. This is the guy that wants to be sheriff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just want to make that crystal clear.
It's political behind it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying he's hugely motivated.
Yeah. And that's good. I mean, it's better than just, you know, Joe Blow walking around with a clipboard. There is something there to it. And then, and I don't know. I wonder if we could get there. That would take us to a new election, and then we'll see if the villagers make the same bad choice twice or three times. It would be if he were to be reelected, I believe. Might even be more than that, because he was sheriff for quite some time prior to that. I don't know. It would be very interesting to see where that could possibly line up at the end of the day. Supervisor Hines said something also significant, that even if Nanos provides that response, which he still is required to do, that's the clock that's counting down. That, I believe, we're in like less than 6 or 7 days where he has to respond to the lack of confidence issues that they brought to the table. But the statute with that is response. It's not satisfactory response. It's not response that makes a modicum of sense. It's just response. I mean, really, he could, you know, respond with the lyrics to "Mary Had a Little Lamb" and it would be a response.
He's going to put together a great response, because, again, it's not just him. It's him and his cadre of individuals who are assisting with that. And that's going to be their number one priority. This isn't going to be investigative, you know, solving any crimes, helping with Nancy Guthrie. He's got a cadre of not only deputies, but also admin people that are working on these responses, because those questions were hugely comprehensive. Things like, about discipline. Just imagine how many people this guy has disciplined. We know about a lot of them. Imagine all of that he's going to have to support and have the documentation why he did something. So this is taking a lot of work behind the scenes. I would tell you, you know, most hours of most days leading up to this deadline.
So, Tony, here's what it's saying right now that I'm looking at. There's no confidence vote. Union vote announced March 24, 241 no confidence and resign, 65 abstain, 0 in favor. Nano's response, according to this, was March 25th, the very next day. His exact statement was, "You cannot attack my department, attack the sheriff, but you will not get by with attacking my department," whatever the hell that means. But apparently he did respond, according to this. So I don't think he's going to say anything else on it. My guess, because for the same reasons Jen's saying, you know, if he feels he has the support of enough people, which he does, Ken, at this point in his career, people know how to form a coalition around you to support your actions, decisions. And you're also going to have, he's very used to having opponents. I mean, we've seen this in all organizations where you have people on high, where they're very used to pissing people off. And they're very used to taking heat on things. And that's why he seems unflappable in all these things. That's why you see him going to basketball games and driving rich cars around, because it's always, you know, at the, I'm a science fiction fan, as everyone knows, and the new Battlestar Galactica, they always say, all this has happened before and all this will happen again. And I think that's his mantra.
And you just read the number there, 69 people abstained. So he's at least got 69 supporters, and that's a lot of manpower.
Is that supporters, though, Jen, or is that people who just don't want to be on the record to be on the chopping block when he decides to cut the next heads off the monster? You know,
well, could be a combination of both. To me, yeah. I believe that it's somebody that believes they have something to gain by him being in power. Some of those, and the other one, right? They get, you know, and Tony, you're the one that just spelled it out. How impossible it's going to be to get those signatures. So that's not going to work. You also spelled it out that all that he has to do is answer.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do anything further. So we've answered our own questions. He's there until 2028.
I'm here to bring no hope.
There
is Happy Monday, everyone.
You know,
no hope.
But, you know, so here's the positive side, you know. As we've said before, people in that department that are trying to do righteous work, that they see him as getting in the way, they've already figured out how to get around him. They've already figured out how to work with his nutter craziness, and they're still going to do the important work anyway. Where it hurts, and that we saw in this case, which was really shocking to me, is how he removes people with experience that threaten his kingdom from those good posts, from those important posts, you know, like investigating big cases like this, and put someone with no experience on it. And I always, like Jen, I always be very careful. I'm not degrading or demonizing in any way the investigator who's actually running this case. Mm-hmm. Very, very good and righteous people doing this, but they just don't have the reps yet to have the experience to mitigate all the pitfalls along the way. That's why you do have experienced people with this running these things because they are very, very important for multiple things, not just investigatively, but optics wise, you know, because you always have to have the support of the public. You have to have the support of everyone on these things because that's where leads come from. So all those elements are important. Anyway.
Why do you think he put somebody on this case as a lead investigator that didn't have experience? At the end of the day, it's going to reflect negatively on him. Did he just not see that? Was he just completely blind? Or is it part of a hero type complex where I'm going to put somebody shitty as the lead, so when they screw up, in his mind, maybe he thought he could swoop in and save the day, even though that has not clearly happened at all?
I think it was twofold. I think one of the reasons, and the number one reason, was loyalty of that person. He wanted a yes man in there that was going to do as he was told. That's really the number one reason. And I think secondarily, he had no idea that this information would get out.
100%.
Your thoughts in the comment section and Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in on where things are currently standing in this nightmare that is the Nancy Guthrie investigation.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.